Hey, it's John from CityCast. If you're in the mood to pamper yourself a little bit this week while supporting cruelty-free products, you should check out Bon Coeur Home and Wellness. It's the best place in Portland to find everything from chic home decor to cannabis accessories. They've got a curated collection of vegan and cruelty-free home goods and wellness products because their name is French for kind heart, after all. You'll get a 20% discount on your first order when you sign up for emails this week at boncoeur.net. That's boncoeur.net and use the code BONCOEURCITYCAST20.
Hey, it's me, Claudia, your friendly CityCast Portland host. Just hopping in before our chat with Oregonian food writer Michael Russell to point out that you only have until tomorrow to head over to portland.citycast.fm and become a founding member, which gets your name for eternity on our site and bragging rights that you were there from the beginning. But also, you're supporting something that you believe in. A huge thank you to all the people that have joined so far. Thank you to Steph R., who became a founding member because they think local democracy depends on local journalism. Or Jenny T., who joined because she loves our combo coverage of light and important and believes our reporting fills a niche that is different from other local reporting. Big ups to Brendan M., who's been listening since last fall and really loves the valuable news on politics and food, the only two things that matter, he wrote, and the stellar guests. If any of what I'm saying is resonating with you, head over to portland.citycast.fm and become a founding member today. All right, on with the show. Portland's food and drink scene is constantly changing. There's new spots opening up and closing seemingly every month. But there are some old standbys that have survived for decades, some for well over a century. So what's the secret behind their longevity? And are they still worth our patronage? So today on CityCast Portland, we're talking with Oregonian restaurant reporter and critic Michael Russell. He's taken us back to old Portland via some of its greatest and longest-lived eateries. It's Thursday, March 7th. I'm Claudia Meza, and this is what Portland's talking about. If someone wanted to take a historical tour of Portland via like five old-timey restaurants, which ones would you suggest?
All right. This is actually really easy for me. I love older restaurants, and I've been wanting to do more with them this year in terms of, you know, highlighting some of my favorites. So I actually put another little plug here. I put a little sidebar in the restaurant guide that just published that's Portland Classics, and it's five restaurants that are the youngest one opened in 1947. And that is Fuller's Coffee Shop. So Fuller's, I think it started on the east side, but eventually it moved down to 9th Avenue in the Pearl District. And it's known for having this kind of funky lunch counter that's shaped maybe like an M or a W. You know, Mario or Wario, depending on your vantage point. But you come in, it's a low countertop. They do breakfast stuff. They do a really good burger. And it's often like ranked on best cheeseburger rankings in Portland, even though, like I said, this place has been open for 75 years or so. It's under new ownership. They had a fire. They recently opened. And so I can't speak to whether the burger is like quite what it used to be when it was $4.95 just 5 years ago. But, you know, that's still a cool place to visit. It's got that old throwback vibe. I think of the painting Nighthawks, you know, of people sitting in a diner late at night. It's got that kind of corner window vibe. That's a great place to start. Have you been there?
Oh, yeah. But I usually go when I'm on my way to the airport or doing something super early. We go there for breakfast.
Well, and they don't have that like funky Portland, like I remember the old like Byways Cafe, like we're filled with tchotchkes and you're going to wait up and line up for brunch. This is like really more like a diner. Like Portland doesn't really have a ton of these outside of a few places on Cesar Chavez and 82nd. So, you know, this is one of those old lunch counters. It's not 24 hours, but it has held on. And I think, you know, partly that's because people love it and regulars love it. And I'm glad it's back from their fire.
Yeah. All right. So that's like the youngest. Or is that how we're going to move up?
That's the baby. The next one on my list is a place that I take my kids probably once a month at least. And it's Otto's Sausage Kitchen It's in the Woodstock neighborhood. It just celebrated its 100th birthday 3 years ago.
Wow.
So it's 103 years young. It's a German deli. And, you know, the stuff in the deli is really good. Sausages, salads. You can get, you know, I don't know, macaroni salad, that kind of thing. They have a surprisingly great wine list, great beer as well. Little German chocolates and things. But the reason we go is there's this old beat up drum of a charcoal grill out front, rain or shine. Pretty sure every day they're open, it's out there. And they're grilling their own sausages over coals. And you can get Frankfurters, you can get chicken sausage. Sometimes they have pork sausage, kind of depends on the day. But they char them, they put them on a bun. Like, again, I remember even a few years ago, it was like $2. That's raised to $5, $6, $7, depending on which sausage you get, but still fairly cheap. Yeah, that's in the Woodstock neighborhood. It's a great standard place and great for families. Love to chat with the folks on the grill. And then they have like 12 or 14 condiments you can load up right next door.
Yeah. I used to work around there many years ago, and we would go there often for lunch. But it was really nice, and I didn't know how old it was for some reason. I just thought it was like, oh, yeah, from the 50s, possibly, maybe. Just because you look at the linoleum on the floor, and you're just like, this is from the 50s or the 70s or something.
And the mural on the side that's like maybe some Bavarian Alps or something. I can't quite remember. Mm-hmm. But they opened the same year as the Republic Cafe, which I'm not recommending as a foodie destination necessarily. But if you're in Chinatown and want a bottle of beer, like it's a pretty great old school haunt.
Yeah. Well, we have Fuller's and Otto's. We got three more.
Okay. So if you like oysters, one of the oldest restaurants in Portland is Dan and Louie Oyster Bar. They opened in 1907. I think they originally opened as like an oyster shucking cart or maybe just selling oysters to go. I'm not totally sure about the history there. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is you can still go. You can still get oysters. They have a decent happy hour. It's not quite as modern. You know, sometimes I dream of that place getting modernized a bit, which sounds so icky. And, you know, maybe they could use a little bit of a sprucing up, if you will. But, you know, still, if you're looking for oysters and you're downtown and you love old restaurants like I do, this is like a totally classic place to go. And hopefully it can last another 100 years.
Yeah.
And we need more oyster bars.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for saying that.
We have places that sell oysters, but how many like proper we're an oyster bar? Like, you know, Jacqueline comes to mind in Southeast.
But it's so small. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, a lot of places that do oysters, they charge a lot, too. And, you know, maybe you get a dollar oyster happy hour. Those are great. But, you know, Dan and Louie, pretty great.
Off the record, Michael. That is like my dream business. But in St. John's is to have like a really nice working class oyster bar, but that is like nice, that looks good, you know?
I love it. I love it. I'm picking up 2 dozen oysters tonight and I'm going to shuck them myself.
I have 12 in my fridge right now waiting to get shucked. I'm not even fucking joking with you.
We should be joining forces. We'd have 36.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, the oldest restaurant in Portland.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All right, we got two more.
Jake's Famous Crawfish, it opened in 1892. You know, Jake's still has all the ambiance you could desire in an old restaurant. They have this old tiled bar. There's a strange drain under the bar, which I have wondered if maybe men used to relieve themselves. I don't know. Maybe that's crazy, but...
Well, that is the lore.
That's the lore, right? You know, like if I'm working late and I'm downtown... Man, that is a great place to just go grab a beer, a little seafood, and, you know, maybe watch, like, I'm not even a baseball fan, but it's the ideal place to watch a baseball game, really. Mm-hmm. So they're 132 years old. You know, don't go expecting a Michelin 3-star food experience, but the vibes are great. The service tends to be really warm and hospitable. They'll bring your kids little stuffed crawfish to play with that are, you know, this kind of little sweet little touches, and everything will be tasty enough, and the vibe is cool. Very cool. If you've never been, I mean, this is like a restaurant that's like, if you're from Portland, it's, you're maybe rolling your eyes. Like, of course, Jake's, but like, if, you know, if like me, you arrived in the mid 2000s, you're kind of like, that place doesn't really, I don't know. Are they really bringing it? But it's fun, you know, like all older restaurants, and there's great value there too.
Mm-hmm. When I used to work in the Pearl, this like ad agency, you've never heard of it. the old timers from that agency would go there during lunch and drink. And I just thought that was funny.
Schmeiden and Schmenity, I think it was called, right?
Well, Schmeiden and Schmenity didn't go to their drink. It was more like their old cronies who were still there for some reason, you know, and like they were just drunk by noon usually, but that's where they would go.
Well, these older restaurants, they believe in happy hour and they haven't given it up even with the pandemic. They still offer long menus of like little snacks, but people would just kind of pour out of their office buildings. They'd go into these restaurants, they'd fuel up on this relatively cheap thing, have a couple drinks and go back home.
Yeah. All right. Well, you want to say the oldest restaurant together while we're holding Zoom hands?
Let's do it.
Okay. On three.
Three, two, Hubert's.
Hubert's.
Oh. Just,
go ahead.
So yeah. I mean, Hubert's is amazing.
Hubert's is fantastic. The stories.
What the heck? The lore.
We're so lucky. And I know that it was like opened up by a man named Hubert's, but the family, the Chinese family that's been running it, that took it over, has been working in that restaurant since it was opened.
Yeah.
It was like the cook, you know, that Hubert's hired to do the turkey dinners, you know, that we all know, if you know the lore, that he's the one that during the flood, this great flood, came out on a rowboat and was out making sandwiches for everyone. You know, like that's what Hubert's is. And it's nice. It's nice in there, but it has like that old world charm, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about Jim Louis, who came from China, I guess, in 1881. And so, I mean, this is a restaurant that opened in 1879. So to your point, basically, you know, been working there since time immemorial in terms of Portland restaurant scene. And here's the thing about Hubert's. Like, when you say to someone, oh, yeah, they're known for their turkey, it's kind of like, okay. Like, what do you mean? Like, turkey sandwiches, turkey clubs, like roast turkey dinner? I don't know. Doesn't sound maybe necessarily so appealing. But the food there's really good. It's kind of like diner food plus a little bit. But the thing when you go there is you have to, these days, you have to walk down a hallway. You enter a room that's like tucked in the back of an old office building. There's this gorgeous sort of like stained glass ceiling overhead and an ancient wooden bar. And the bartenders there are all decked out.
Wearing little vests.
Little vests, white shirts. And they make sort of probably the signature cocktail of Portland. Apologies to Jeffrey Morgenthaler's barrel-aged Negroni here, but the Spanish coffee at Hubert's, there may not be a better like known drink associated with the Portland restaurant or with the city. And essentially it's like a mix of Bacardi 151 and other spirits. There's a little coffee that they're just pouring from a diner carafe. They have some cream that they've whipped up a big batch of. They splash that on top. To me, the signature part of this signature cocktail is that they rinse the lip of the glass with lime, and then they dip it in sugar. So every sip you get of this sort of like strong boozy coffee comes through this limey sugar mixture, which is delicious. And they'll do a whole bunch of flair with that, where they're pouring the coffee from like 4 feet away from the glass. It's all like ridiculous stuff that you would just never do if you're opening a restaurant today. But I think it's amazing. So,
and it's table side. You order one of these, you know, you would get the little wheel cart coming to you. It's Benihana level skill, but it's a it's a boozy coffee drink. Things are set on fire. Michael, you undersold it.
I somehow undersold it while I was trying to sell it so hard. Yeah,
it's crazy, and it's worth every. And like again, I always say, if you're after this, you're just like, all right, fine, I'll go to Hubert's. Bring some tip money for the bartender who's making your side drink because, you know.
They're working their butts off. But you really have to go during the holidays because that place, which can be pretty quiet on late February, Wednesday or Thursday or whatever. But if you go from, let's say, 2 weeks before Thanksgiving to New Year's, you can't even get a table. Like, you have to make reservations months in advance.
Yeah.
The last time I was there, like, Ted Wheeler was in front of me checking in, and they were like, yeah, sorry, we got no spot for you. And like, I think he kind of like stood by the coats like in the back and ordered a drink for him and whoever he was with. And it's just like such an essential Portland holiday experience. And the last time I did it, my kids were at the ballet, which I've somehow managed to talk my way out of not going to. I like dance, but it's nice to have a little me time.
I love this, Michael.
So I was like doing a little holiday shopping. I just walked into Hubert's. I had a Spanish coffee. That's it. Didn't even have any food. And I was like, dang, is this the best restaurant in Portland?
It saved you. Yeah. You were having the time of your life.
Sorry, kids. Enjoy the nutcracker.
Nice. Okay, can I just tell you something real quick?
Yeah.
Portland's oldest restaurant did not invent the Spanish coffee, because a lot of people, we actually think they did. In 1975, third-generation owner Jim Louis stole it from the Fernwood Inn. I love stole it. Jesus. Stole like a thief in the night from the Fernwood Inn in Milwaukee, who stole it from a bar in Mexico. It always goes back to Mexico, Michael.
Oh, my God.
Okay. We're going to wrap it up. Before we head out, I want to ask, if you could bring one old Portland spot that didn't make it, which would it be? I already have mine.
Well, the place that I miss the most and think about like more than I should is not that old. It's only open when I moved here. So 20 years ago, less than 20 years ago. But it's a little breakfast place on Lombard Avenue that was called the Little Red Bike Cafe. Mm. And it was run by a really sweet couple, and it was like only a half hour from where I was living in Kenton at the time. So my roommate and I would walk over there basically every Sunday and get an egg sandwich, get some French toast, get various things. They unfortunately closed. The owners moved to LA. They're super sweet, nice people. And, you know, it's not like a Huber's level old restaurant, but all the food was so delicious. I miss that place all the time, and I would bring that zombie restaurant back to life if I had the power, the energy, the dark magic.
Dang.
Okay, blow me out of the water with something older.
Yeah, well, I've talked about this restaurant quite a bit whenever we talk about, you know, things we miss. Overlook Restaurant on North Skidmore and Interstate.
Oof.
It was 43 years old. It was a Greek diner in the sense that it was like a bunch of American food, but you could still get delicious Greek food. And the largest cinnamon rolls and just the vibe in there, because there was two sections. You could have one section where you could just, you know, hang out and not have cigarette smoke in your face. I mean, at a certain point, there was no cigarettes allowed, but it used to be like a very heavy smoking, you know, place. It didn't have a stench or anything, but it just had this, like it was set lower. There were like indoor fireplaces. It just was so perfect. And there was a bar, and they would make the strongest, cheapest, inexpensive, I mean, martinis, the burger, everything you ordered was perfect. Like, you're just like, thank you. This is a perfect burger. Thank you. These baby back ribs are amazing. This lemon chicken is falling apart over these potatoes. It was just, and their breakfast, come on.
So good. We lived on Mississippi for years when I first moved here, and I had a friend who was a regular there, and they'd make her waffles with like bacon bits broken up into the batter as an off menu thing just for her. And yeah, amazing place. They owned a lot of property around the diner that they'd bought up in the, you know, bad economy times in the 80s and held on to. And, you know, some of those places were pretty run down, and eventually they just cashed out. I believe the man who ran it, I believe he passed away not long after they sold, which was kind of sad because they had dreams of kind of a rich retirement.
Yeah. And I don't know, this is how much people loved it. There's actually a Facebook called Displaced Overlook Restaurant Patrons. That being said, we didn't mention it, but I just want to give a shout out to the Original Pancake House. Original Pancake House, what's up?
Still great.
Very young. Young, 1953.
Man, that's a good point. And you know, the two that probably should have made my little sidebar are that one and Ringside Steakhouse, which is 80 years old and still rules.
Ringside. Yeah, I feel like we'll put all of these in the show notes. If you're new to town and you were like, oh, I want to know more about my city. Or if you're an old Portlander, you forgot, like, we got to go get those onion rings at Ringside. We got to drink that coffee at Huber's, you know, got to get those apple pancakes at Old Pancake House.
Yes. Or the Dutch Baby. Don't forget about the Dutch Baby.
People love that Dutch Baby. Man.
Please tell us about your favorite older restaurants too, whether that's, you know, through the show or I'm on Twitter very occasionally, once a week. So TDM Russell on Twitter, if you want to just hit me with your restaurants you miss. You know, obviously I picked one that isn't that old, but it meant a lot to me. So
yeah. Well, I mean, that's all that matters. Yeah, hit us up. You know, there's some out there that I can't imagine, but maybe even you, Michael, were just like, what? I want to see that happen.
Yeah. I mean, foodies might think of Zeffiro or the original Genoa, you know, like some of Portland's first like exciting or finer dining restaurants. But yeah, whatever speaks to you, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks again, Michael. Appreciate you swinging by as always.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you.
And now for some events happening this weekend. The Portland Saturday Market is opening back up for the season. If you haven't gone at least once, it's definitely worth the trek. It runs from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturdays and from 11 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. on Sundays. Also, the 9th annual She Brew Festival is happening this Sunday at the Red on Salmon Street. This family-friendly event celebrates female professionals and home brewers, featuring 50-plus female-crafted beers and ciders. And She Brew is 100% nonprofit, so all proceeds will go to the Human Rights Campaign to fight for equality. And a listener submitted this really unique meetup that some of you might be interested in. It's a monthly peer support group for people who are experiencing high levels of eco-anxiety. It's called the Climate Resilience Circle, and they're meeting this Sunday from 2:45 to 4:30 p.m. at the Fremont Methodist Church. This 90-minute gathering is designed for listening, sharing, and connecting to deepen personal resilience in the face of climate change. It's free to register and also has a $10 suggested donation. For even more local events and news, sign up for our daily newsletter, Hey Portland. You can find all links in the show notes. Well, that's all for today here on CityCast Portland. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more from around the city. Until then, see you with Slims.